This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, January 14th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, and we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, a chilling one coming up the last couple weeks of this month. But first, a look at today's news. The rain-swollen Vermilion River in east-central Illinois finally dipped below flood stage this weekend for the first time since heavy rainfall and melting snow caused severe flooding last week. It caused the greatest problems in the city of Pontiac, where about 200 homes were evacuated. The National Weather Service says the river stood at 9.3 feet Sunday afternoon, down from its 14-foot flood stage. The river crested at 18.8 feet Wednesday. But authorities say it'll be another week before residents of rain-soaked Watseka get a break from the flooded Iroquois River. That river isn't supposed to go below flood stage until Saturday. Nearly 450 homes were evacuated in Watseka. The river was 23.4 feet Sunday afternoon, far above its 18-foot flood stage. As a service to local families affected by recent flooding, the American Red Cross of the Heartland opened a service delivery center yesterday in the City Council chambers at Pontiac City Hall. The center will be open from 9 to 5 daily. Evening hours are yet to be confirmed and will be announced at a later time. Anyone from the Pontiac area affected by the flood may come to the center. Client casework volunteers will be on hand to meet individually with families to assess their immediate basic needs, such as medications, food, and clothing. Health Service volunteers will address any personal health issues, and mental health volunteers will be available for counseling. A 36-year-old Champaign County man is being held on first-degree murder charges after he allegedly shot his friend in the head during an altercation late Friday night. Authorities are holding Randall Huffstutler, a Fisher, at the Champaign County Satellite Jail in East Urbana. Police say 35-year-old Ronnie Randolph, also a Fisher, was shot at the home Huffstutler shared with his grandmother. Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz says the investigation is only in its preliminary stages, but she says it appears Randolph and Huffstutler began arguing while they were planning to commit a crime together. She declined to describe the type of crime. Reitz says that during the quarrel, Huffstutler shot Randolph in the face. Funding for mass transit in the Chicago area tops the list of concerns for Illinois lawmakers this week. Mike Rhee has more.
Governor Rod Blagojevich wants all seniors in Illinois to be able to ride free on public buses and trains. It's part of a bill that would raise sales taxes in the Chicago region to give additional funding to the CTA, Metra, and PACE. Now it's up to the legislature to give final approval. Despite the positive movement in Springfield, Metra's board of directors approved a 10% fare hike starting in February. Board member Michael Smith says years of underfunding have cut into Metra's infrastructure.
The fact that it's been bad for a long time has dug a hole, and we had talked about it before. It's similar to a snowball rolling downhill that it just keeps growing itself. So it's not the cure-all.
Metra says it will begin posting signs and making announcements about its 10% fare hike this week. I'm Mike Reed.
Indiana Republicans have nominated State Representative John Elrod to run in a March 11th special election against Democrat Andre Carson for Julia Carson's congressional seat. Julia Carson, who is Andre Carson's grandmother, died last month. Elrod, an attorney, had announced his plans to run for Congress a month before Carson's death. He won the election last year to his first term in the legislature by defeating incumbent Democrat Ed Mahern by 7 votes in the district on the south side of Indianapolis. Julia Carson, a six-term Democrat, died December 15th from lung cancer. She had represented the 7th District, which covers most of Indianapolis, since 1997. The winner of the special election will complete a term that runs through the rest of the year. Indiana toll road officials say an electronic tolling system will be available on the entire 157-mile route by April. That's nearly a year later than the private company had hoped, but still ahead of a June 29th deadline imposed by the company's lease with the state. Illinois lawmaker Aaron Schock says he made a misstep early in his bid for Congress, but the Peoria Republican says he's tired of hearing criticism about it. Jenna Dooley has that story.
Aaron Schock made some daring comments the day he announced he'd run for Congress. Schock is trying to replace retiring U.S. Representative Ray LaHood. At that time, he suggested selling nuclear weapons to Taiwan to keep China in line with U.S. policy. His opponents were quick to jump on the statement, saying it showed the 26-year-old lacks the knowledge for the job. Schock still defends his position, but admits he went too far with the speech. One of Schock's House colleagues and supporters, Republican Jill Tracy of Mount Sterling, spoke in his defense.
Obviously, a congressman would not have that authority, but I think it showed his in-depth knowledge of the different areas of foreign policy that need to be addressed and need to be thought of if you're running for a candidate for Congress.
Schock faces Jim McConaughey and John Morris in the Republican primary next month. I'm Jenna Dooley.
Much of the attention for the presidential race in Illinois has been on Democrat Barack Obama, but Republicans are eyeing the upcoming primary as well. Illinois House GOP leader Tom Cross is in charge of Giuliani's campaign in Illinois. Despite lagging in the early primaries, despite lagging numbers in Iowa and New Hampshire, Cross says things are still going according to plan. He says Giuliani's strategy has always been to focus on the larger states, and he says Giuliani hopes to gain strength in Illinois.
I think Illinois is going to have a pretty vital role in all this because I think Rudy will win Florida, and then February 5th is a big day, and we think he can win Illinois and then the other big states.
Giuliani's home state of New York is included in the cluster of February 5th primaries. Cross says Giuliani will spend a couple of days in Illinois before the election. Rena Wilkie has plenty of parking around her modest Springfield home. In fact, that's pretty much all she has. Now that most of her neighbors have sold their properties to Memorial Medical Center, Wilkie's one-story house is ringed on three sides by parking lots. The 73-year-old woman said a hospital representative calls every year to politely ask if she's willing to sell, and every year she says no. The hospital has bought dozens of nearby properties over the years to build the parking lots. Wilkie said the lots are well lit and that the hospital even clears the snow from her sidewalks. Wilkie said it's the memories of living in the house with her late husband and their daughters that keeps her from selling. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Invasion of privacy is a very personal thing. Turns out that's true in more ways than one. Commentator Amy Guida explains that in many instances, privacy claims last only as long as you do. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
The headline in an internet news story from Florida may have caught your eye, as it did mine. Fire chief under fire over emailed photos of topless crash victim. And there on the internet was a photograph, blurred apparently by the news source, of a young woman surrounded by rescue workers who'd apparently ripped her shirt off in an attempt to save her life. Sadly, the rescue wasn't successful. She later died from her injuries. The article reported that the local fire chief took photos of the accident scene and the victim in her state of undress and sent them to other fire departments. The chief reportedly explained that such images were invaluable investigative tools and that he didn't mean for them to be derogatory. Not all agreed. The city manager of the small Florida town where this all happened told local reporters that the young woman's privacy had been invaded, in a moral sense. And many would agree. Morally and ethically, questions of invasions of privacy are nuanced, and we could argue legitimately that, depending upon the context, a sharing of the photos was morally wrong. But legally, the answer is pretty clear. You've died, you have no privacy rights. Under common law, any right to privacy that you may have had based on a photograph, like the one of the young woman, dies right along with you. If the woman had lived, she might have had a valid publication of private facts claim, perhaps against the fire chief and any other person who posted the photographs or sent them on to others. She could have argued that a private fact about herself, her nude body, had been revealed needlessly. Those who shared the photographs likely would have argued in response that their missives were sent for an important reason— to help rescue workers understand causes of accidents and responses to them. A court would have to figure it all out. But because the woman died, she or her heirs can't bring that sort of privacy cause of action. A publication of private facts claim, like most of the privacy torts, generally dies right along with the potential plaintiff. But things could be changing. The United States Supreme Court noted just a few years ago that families have some privacy rights in the deaths of relatives. that around the globe and throughout history, death is a very private event, and that a family's peace of mind and tranquility must come before our sensation-seeking culture. So far, though, lower courts hearing arguments about reviving the right to privacy after death have generally refused to extend the Supreme Court's words beyond the context in which they were written, a Freedom of Information Act case. It's certainly something to keep an eye on in the privacy area, though, as the internet grows and more of these sorts of cases arise. Meantime, the fire chief has resigned, according to the Orlando Sentinel. That ethics-conscious city manager had reportedly planned to fire him. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for the region today, expect mostly cloudy skies, windy, a few flurries. The high around 31 today. We'll have winds from the west to northwest at 15 to 25 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy tonight, the low 15 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, the high 28. Tomorrow evening, mostly clear, the low 18. Increasing cloudiness on Wednesday, the high 38. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, January 14th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.